Shmeis Vov Posik Yud. Begabir Pare Melech Mitzorim Yisharach Ez Ne Yisroi Maatz Vedaba Meishof Ne Yishem Lei Meir Hei Bne Yisroi Nishom Elai Veich Yishmei Nifarei Vani Aral Tzvosoim. Now the Medra says that this is one of the Kalachinas mentioned in the Torah. There are a number of Kalachinas mentioned in the Torah. One is Vavir Yorik Yorik Bhanel Halei, we call him Shiva Syam, Al Yisoya Shiva Syam, in Baleischa. Vayim Alisha Ramayishi, Vavir Yorei Kyoag Vene Al Yisoya Shiva Syam, Shiva Syam, Tisoga Shiva Syam, Chuta Mach, Vahatos. So the Gemara in Bolokame learns out from that the whole basis for Kalachena. I mean, what is the Torah trying to tell us? In case of Vio is Yorid Hanel, so she has to be closed up for 7 days. Haskam Rechamo, when the Shechina chastises a person, the way the Shechina chastised Miriam, so of course, 7 days Lachalapachas. Oh, maybe we should say Yudaladay. So dialogue not doing this. So that's the mockery of Foy Kalachina. Now this Kalachina is mentioned by Rabbi Shmuel. In the price of Rishmoel, which the Chesami is appearing precious, so the Kalachina Keitzad, so Rabbi Shmuel in that price mentions the Posik. Vio, Vayima Rishema Meshe, Vio Yori John Hanel, how is he calling Shivashion, Tisovio Shivashion Nahutsa Machni, the Achatos. But the Medresh, Shleishim Mishtaim, the initial portion you find in the Gemara Brochus, the Medrash Shleishim Mishtaim Midrash or Gesa Aviri. So there's a whole Medrash. So the Medrash Shleishim Mishtaim mentions other Kalachinas. Dafke this Kalachinel of Parsha Balisho, the Medrash Shleishim Mishtaim doesn't mention. But other Kalachinas, for example, there is a Kalachina mentioned in the Kates. Reishis Memdalet Posik Ches Kesef Hashem Otzonu Bifiyam Techesein Heshiveinu Alecho Me'ar Tzknoan Ve'ich Mignif Misadinecho Kesef Yisov. That's a Kalachina. I mean, the brothers of Yosef said to Yosef, they thought he was the prime minister, but he didn't know it was Yosef. So they said, how can you accuse us of stealing the kesev that we found? You didn't know anything about it to return. So you're not going to take anything that doesn't belong to us. So that's a kalachin. Then the Medrash mentions this kalachin that Meisha said before Akadosh Baruch Hu. Vayedaber Meisha lifnei Hashem leimeir hinei Yisrael lishom elai veich yishmei nifarei v'ani aral tzvosam. Now, why is it that that Rabbi Shmuel, when in the price of the Shlosh Esra Midas Akirin Reshes, so for each Troshe, for each Midas Shatirin Reshes, so he mentions in Mokeya, he doesn't mention any of these Kalachemas, but only the Kalachemah in Baleischa, the Vio Yorit Yorit Bechanel. So the Sefer Akrisa says, there is a basic distinction between the Gimel Midas Shatirin Reshes by Rabbi Shmuel and Shleishim Mushtayim Mides that of Rabbi Yisagri. The Yudgimu Mides Shaternet Reshes are techniques whereby certain halochas are to be deduced by the Chachma Kabbalah. But it's not Fiddish on it. It's not Kalachimah is not plain logic. In other words, just as Xerashove and Hekesh is not based upon human logic, so Kalachemea is not based upon human logic either. Because from the point of view of pure human logic, it does not necessarily follow just because of Vio Yorik Yor Bifanel. So, see, Kalon Shivas Yomim, it doesn't necessarily follow that when the Rebbeinu Shel, when the Shekhinah Chester is the person, he certainly has to be closed up for 7 days, at least 7 days. Because we could say, with cogent logic, when the father is a human being, so then, he saw the Shekhinah Chester. But when the Shekhinah Chester says, maybe, it's not necessary to close out the person. It does not necessarily follow from the point of view of human life. But it's one of the Midrash HaTeirim Rashi there. Just as the Torah is Nidreshes for a Xerashove, for a Hekesh, for a Klal Patechlal, so it's Nidresh like Kalachemia. And not every person can be done a Kalachemia. We cannot be done a Kalachemia. Not only we can. Even the Rishenim couldn't be done a Kalachemia. Only the Chachna Kabole, the Tanoim, the Amoroim, they had the Keach. They knew all the clothing. Went to Darash and so on, and so they could ask, but an ordinary person cannot resort to a kalachena, because this kalachena of drosh mashein came the shleishim u'shtayim midrash al b'isag, really are not midrash at the drosh, then it's called midrash, but they are skills and techniques in understanding the text of the Torah. For example, there it says that Divrei Nivuah is Midrash B'Moshe Shenema Holy Cholcho Eitzim Mim Shechalei Melech. So it's not to be interpreted literally, but it's emotional, it's an allegory. So there the allegory is not the Droshe. That's one of the techniques of understanding the text of Nevi'im. Holy Cholcho Eitzim Mim Shechalei Melech. So sometimes the Kalachimea represents plain logic. I mean, when you are, from the point of view of human logic, you can deduce a minor premise from a major premise, or a major premise from a minor premise. But that everybody can do. I mean, what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's plain logic. It's plain logic. I mean, doesn't it follow if the Israelites didn't hearken to the voice of God, how can we expect Pharaoh, the tyrant, the Egyptian, the pagan, to hearken to the voice of God? I mean, it's plain logic. So, and in Kesef, the brothers of Yosef, is also plain logic. So there are two kinds of Kalachemia. There is one Kalachemia that is not grounded in logic. There's the Kalachemia of Avio Yorik Yorik Vanel. And then there's another Kalachemia that is grounded in plain human logic. Human logic. Now, so, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu raised a very significant question before the Rebbeinu Shalom. He asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, he inquired the Rebbeinu Shalom, how can we expect the Israelites to hearken to the voice of God? I mean, how can we expect Pharaoh to hearken to the voice of God when the Israelites don't hearken? I mean, it's a very good question, and we don't find that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him an answer. Adala meishaf ne'al Hashem le'imeya, him ne'i Yisrael l'shom le'elai, ve'eich yishmoein yifarei, v'ani aral sasai. So what's the answer? Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu asked something, so the Rebbeinu Shalom gave him an answer. Give him an answer. And if he did not deserve an answer, then the Rebbeinu Shalom should have said, no, you can't ask this question. But Rebbeinu Shalom just didn't give him an answer. By Davi Rad Hashem, Shem El Moshe Vel Arim, by Tzavim Ad Mei Yisrael, Vel Parim Melech Yisrael, Leizim Yisrael Ad Yisrael. But what about the question, the query that was raised by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Mei Yisrael Yishmael, Veyach Yishmael Farei, that was ignored. What's the pshat? So the answer is that the implicit answer by the Rebbeinu Shalom was, don't assume that the destiny of the Jewish people is based upon the rules of logic. the destiny of the Jewish people in the course of the millennia has never been based upon logic. From the point of view of logic, we couldn't understand the survival of the Jewish people. I mean, that is among 70 wolves, as Chazal say, and each one of the wolves has been trying to destroy the Jewish people. And many of the pagan tyrants already celebrated the destruction of Judea. I mean, didn't Titus, you can still see it in Rome, when he returned from Yerushalayim, so he erected a special gate that was expressive of the destruction of the Jewish people. And didn't the Reader's Digest during the Second World War write a series of articles, the vanishing Jew? I mean, they already say in Kaddish for the Jewish people, the vanishing Jew. I mean, but never mind, the Jew didn't vanish. Can it be explained on the basis of logic? It cannot be explained on the basis of logic. So that was the implicit answer by Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu raised a very important question. From the point of view of logic, there is no Tshuva. A very significant question. There is no Tshuva. But there is one Tshuva. Jewish destiny is not grounded in logic. You can't understand Jewish history if you let yourself be motivated by logic. In the course of the millennia, the events that overtook the Jewish people defied all laws in sociology, defied all laws in history, all laws in economics. They defy logic. So you cannot ask, from the point of view of logic, neither Bnei Yisrael will hearken, nor Pharaoh will hearken. But there is something higher than logic. Something higher than logic. And for your mission, Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Israelites will be delivered. The Israelites will be delivered. And that was, really, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that when the Rabbeinu Shalom, in the prophetic vision of the burning bush, told him of the mission that was imposed upon him to deliver the Israelites, so he assumed that this Gulas Yisrael, the redemption of the Jewish people, will be grounded within the framework of the historical processes. Samuel, he thought that the Rabbeinu Shalom will instill in Pharaoh's heart a disposition to deliver the Jews, and then when Moshe Rabbeinu will come to Pharaoh together with Aaron, and they'll say in the name of God that he has to allow the Israelites to leave Egyptian bondage, so then Pharaoh will turn into a good person, he'll become a humanitarian, and then he said, it's really not right for me to enslave the people. So, but then, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that as a result of the first mission to Pharaoh, so the lot of the Jewish people in Israel became more bitter, so then Moshe Rabbeinu complained, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu expected the delivery of the Israelites to take place, to be realized within the framework of nature, within the framework of the historical laws, within the framework of sociological and psychological laws. So he says, but we see on the contrary that a lot of the Jewish people has become more and more bitter. You think that the redemption of the Jewish people will be realized and within a framework of logic, of nature, of psychology, psychological laws, sociological laws, historical laws. No, the destiny of the Jewish people is metanatural. It's l'mayim natera. It's l'mayim natera. I use the expression metanatural, not unnatural. Unnatural means something abnormal. I now, as I'm regaining sensation on the left side, so I have hypersensation. Unnatural because it's abnormal, hence pain. But metanatural means it's very normal, but it's metanatural. The destiny of the Jewish people is metanatural. It's l'mayim minatera. And you cannot reason on the basis of logic. You cannot reason on the basis of logic. With that we can understand a very remarkable and curious medrash, in medrash here. Now you can find it in the Yitzhak HaTfilah, in the first chalik. So there it mentions the Chazal. Omru Chazal al David Melech Yisrael, Bishor Shesim Sefer Tehilim, Zoho Daiti Olam. Viyomo Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeish Brio Sheberoso Beilomcho, Shoyimer Eshiris Vitishbochis Yisrael Men. He was very proud of Lamala. He had good reason to be proud. I mean, after composing Tehillim, I mean the Ruach HaKedesh, he had good reason to be proud. Beis Hishon is damno litzva deyachas. Vomo le David, al tozuar daitcho olecho. Vani mere shiris visizbochis. Yeisa memeko. Viluyei, dava kol shiro shani meres mima. Sheles oleo shlishes alofi mishalim. Shenema, vaydaber shlishes alofi moshal vayishire chamisho velem. Viloy oid, alo shani yisekez mitzvah deyla, yisvadeya. Vizuya mitzvah shani yisekez bo. What's the big mitzvah in which the tzvadeya, the flag, is engaged? Yeish bisvas hayam, min echad, sheim parnososei ki min amayi, uvishor shu roi, noitleini veyechleini. Zuya mitzvah likayim ma shenema, im roi vse nacho achilei ulachem, vimtzome yashki umoyi, ki yecholim atochis al reishei, Vad Shem Yishalmoch, Al Tikko Yishalmoch, Al Yishalmoch. Such a curious medrash. Medrash play, in other words, Bimara Hanvuye, he beheld a flag, and that flag, he was told, is capable, is singing a more glorious shire than the shire by David HaMelech, than the Sivatim. How can that be understood? How can it be understood? And why does the frag? What's the big yichas with the frag? All right, according to Perik Shiro, every animal and every insect and even the inorganic world sing Shir. Shamayim Emrim, Eretz Emeres, Gan Eden Emer, Genim Emer, Midbar Emer, Sodis Emrim, Mayim Emrim, Yamim Emrim, Horis Emrim, Ayonis Emrim, Laila Emer, Shemesh Emer, even the intangible things say Shir. Chobim Emrim, Obim Emrim, Amechobed Emrim, Ruach Emer, Brokim Emrim, Tal Emer, Shom Emrim. So everything is Shir. What's the Yiches? So he wasn't shown all these things, but just the frog. What's the big Yiches with the frog? But there is another Gemara, which seems to emphasize the Yiches significance of the frog. So apparently the frog is a Yachsen. I mean, you cannot even rattle the frog. It's not there. Mag ik slag in die geven? Ja. Child. Daar vind ik die man met bezig in slag. Ik boeil. Toen dus die schreef niet, because the more I mention is the story about it. Dus die schreef niet, die instituted a certain practice in Rome, that Pesach night, Seder night, everybody should eat, you know, a gdi, so Shemel Meshetach, reprimanded him for that. So the Gemara has an abaye. Tudis ishreini. Tudis ishreini gavre rabbe have. Uybalid Rupinau. Was he an Odom Gadol? Igor? Oh, he was just a man of the feast. A man of the feast. It's a strange child, I mean, from Yakotz Lakotz. We can understand if the Gemara is not by it. Gavra Rabbe, I mean, oh, he wasn't an Odom Gadol, he was a plain person. But to ask whether Gavra Rabbe or a Balik Ruf, what is a Balik Ruf? A Balik Ruf means a brute. A brute! Whether he's an Odom Gadol or a brute. But anyway, the Gemara has the Tavai. So Toshma, Oizu Dorash Tudes Yishraimi, Maro Hanani Mishoi Vazariya Shemosu Atzma Abdush Hashem, Vekifshin Aish, Nosu Kalvachima Beatzma Mitzvadei, again Tzvadei, Umatzvadei Mishim Mitzvim Nakidish Hashem, Psivbo, Ubo, Viyolu Vivisecho, Tanorecho, Vizmikali Secho, Emisai Mishoreis Mitzvim, it's all Tanor. So the Torah in Be'or, in this header, says that that Pharaoh was told by Moshe that the frogs will come, will fill up his homes and the stove, the furnaces, and the kneading troughs. So when do you find the kneading trough near the tunnel? When it's hot, because the purpose is to bake the Yisrael. So, and still the Tzvadayim didn't mind entering and penetrating into this burning stove. So, Ma Tzvadayim. Eime Sai Mishoris Mitzuris Yisotano Heveinu Bishoshatano Ham Onu Shemisu Nabu Shashem Alachaskan Lecham. Tzvadayim Anat Mechui Vankid Hashem, naturally. I mean, only human beings can be Mitzuri Mitzvahs. But not animals. Certainly Tzvadeim cannot be Mechuyev Mitzvahs. So Tzvadeim are not Muzeh and the Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. Still they decided to be Mechuyev Hashem and let themselves be burned. So Haskamu V'chamo. We that we are Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. Allah Haskamu V'chamo. Taisa says the Kashe. Why did Hananya Mishael V'Azariah have to resort to this Kalachema from today? There's a mitzvah of Mikdashti. B'seir me Yisrael? So why do they have to have recourse to Kalachema from today? So Hamitam did the Teret. That actually the Pesel, the image to which they were told to kneel down, was not Lishim HaMizrael, but was Lishim HaMelech. So he didn't involve all the world. But it was hero worship, and it was, it borders on the Zohar. Certain types of hero worship, so border on the Zohar. So at the end, they were not mechuyev. They were not mechuyev to be Nisarek in the Zohar. So they couldn't say they have to give up their lives because of the Nisarek in the Zohar. That implies if a Jew is told to kneel down to an idol, I mean that the Shema Rizor. But this was the Kovid HaMelech. So he says, Umforash Amotam Ditzelem Zeh Shosun Luchad Netzah Rav Avin Zohar Havet Elindarte Shosun Luchad Atzme Ukach Koma Amaro Vichim Mashkam Vichsiv Yeloch Les Hanoch Nupolchim Utzelem Did Havet Lenizgei Mashma Delo Didei Utzlom Etrim Yerim Vosan Amishapir Od Amrinam Dilun Ayres ומולי נגדו לחניים ישראל ועזר יפוחו אצלום ויאביזור אבי חס ושולם שמשתחת עליהם in face of the biggest Yisrael. All right, this is what I'm talking about. But the question is, the Kalachema has to make sense. And the surface really didn't make sense. How could you reduce the Kalachema from Tvadeya? Since when does this Tvadeya have prayer chofshis? No one ever said that the Tvadeya has prayer chofshis. A human being has prayer chofshis, not the Tvadeya. So, especially in this situation, the Tzvadeim did not enter the Tamurim out of their own choice. It was an act of God. It was a miracle. And then something else. It seems the Balaturim in the Skinim Balat Yisves point out that the Tzvadeim that penetrated into the ovens in Mitzrayim never were destroyed. All the other Tzvadeim were destroyed. Died, but not as Tzvadeim that entered. Now, the Amidai Ket from the Lashon HaPasuk. Shmei Zayin Pasuk Hobo. Kulo Mar Hashem, Shalach Hasan Levi Avni. ואם לא ינעתו לשלח, מיוניך נגי פסקות ברוכו בצבבים. בשור הסייר, צבבים, יעולו ובואו מניסכו, ובחדם משקופכו, ובאו מתסכו, ובאי סגדכו, ובאמכו, ובסנורכו, ובישר יסכו. ובכו ובימכו, ובכו ובדכו, לא לצבבים. So the Vasveim were to penetrate into the homes, into the bedrooms, into the beds, and in the Tanurim and the Minim troughs. That was when the Tzvavim emerged. Then, when Pharaoh asked Moshe Rabbeinu to entreat Almighty God that he should remove the Tzvavim, so he said, so it is mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu entreated the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and then the Tzvavim were removed. So it's mentioned in Shmoyis Ches, Kosik Ches, Hayitz and Isha Ba'alim in Parek, Hayitz and Isha Rishem Alba'at, Hayim Asha Somi Parek, Vayasa Rishem Kedah Meshe, Hayamusu HaTzvavim in Abotim in Hatziris in Asodis. What's about the Tanurim and the Midim Chorps? It's not mentioned. So the Skin Baratisus and Baraturim, they both say, that means that when the Tzvavim emerged, they emerged not only in the homes, in the bedroom, but they emerged in the meeting troughs and in the ovens, the furnaces as well. But when they removed, they only removed from the bedrooms, but from the meeting troughs and the furnaces, they were not removed. Isn't that strange? So they call it Nes B'Seich Nes, because according to the Derech HaTeva, so where which Tzvavim are likely to be destroyed first? The Tzvavim that are in oven. I mean, that's what a fire does. It burns. So here the Rebbeinu Shel Olam limited out what such miracles. It was in Nes B'Seich Nes that when the Tzvavim disappeared, so Davke from the bedrooms, when there was no fire burning, there it was removed. And in the furnaces, where there was a fire burning, where they according to the Derech HaTeva. So it has to be the first thing that will burn. So they didn't burn. So it was in Nes B'Seich Nes. So that means that the Tzvavim in the ovens did not get destroyed. So how could Hanani Mishul Azariah did you see Kalachin of the Tzvavim? Uma Tzvavim Shemitzum Yalkimish Hashem. Still they volunteered to give up their lives. They didn't give up their lives. Those Tzvavim who volunteered to pay, first of all, they didn't volunteer. They weren't asked. But even if they did, so they didn't get destroyed. So how could they reduce it our hand? And then, I mean, it runs counter to the whole concept of Kalachim. If somebody said it, I would say, I mean, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But the Gemara, to this Israeli, deduced that Kalachema on behalf of Hanani Mishul Azariah, and that Kalachema is very sound, because on the basis of that Kalachema, the Gemara proves that to this Israeli was not a voluntary thing. That to this Israeli was a Gavraham. But it seems we get to be able to understand the strange irony of the Gemara. To this Ishreini Gavraham, the Havre, Oy Balek Uknar. I just want to mention a humorous remark by Arav Rifki Zachin Rebroche. You see, he was certain from living in Tel Adas, and he mentioned to me at one time, who, whenever he mentioned the kashe, even if the kashe was very strong, they liked to give it tactics. But, so what did they do? I mean, they didn't say anything, but with an open finger, you know. They tried to answer it. So Rav Rifkin told them, these boys, now he understands the Gemara in Tzachin. To this Yishreini, Gavrava Ave, Oy Balag Rifna. I mean, Akotz Lakotzim. The Gemara should ask, To this Yishreini, Gavrava Ave, Oy Lav Gavrava, Yish Poshut. But Gavrava, Oy Vut, Oy Gangster. I mean, that, the answer is, the Gemara means, was he really Gavrava, or the Godel, or London, a real Goyen? Or he just, with the grubber finger, he wanted to explain everything. With the great finger, the grubber finger. That's what Rav Rifkin told me. But it is a strange Abai. But, now, Tudis Ishreini was a Kohen Malchus. He lived in Rome, and he did many teves, and he did many teves. He did many teves to Klal Yisrael, Tudis Ishreini. Because he was called the Malchus, and whenever it was necessary, to Mishtadeir, you know. So he did it. But the Gemara is asking a question, you know, sometimes the call of the Malchus is very effective. Why is he very effective? Because, you know, he's a friend of all the politicians. So the male is effective. But that doesn't mean that he's a big man, that he's a good man. Just he's friendly with all the politicians. So merely can help our Jews. So the Gemara asked, of course, Tudis Ishreini was a Rapper. There is no doubt about it. He helped Klal Yisrael so many times. We find in Chazal how Tudis Ishreini helped Klal Yisrael. Whenever they wanted a certain Zera to be lifted, so the Chachomim asked Tudis Ishreini, he should use his influence. So the Gemara wants to know whether his influence was affected through politics. That means, because he was identified with all the Balaikopim, with all the brutes in the Roman government, so mainly was able to help, or he was affected because of the Kiyahatir. Not because he was friendly with all the brutes. He wasn't the Balaikopim, he was the Gavarab. So the Gemara mentioned that Kalachayma. The other members by Tudis Ishreini, the Gemara doesn't mention. Because here, the Rambam says that actually Al Pidin, Hanani Mishul Azayi were not mechuyev to the Mesanachims. Because it was Mishimav Rizal. But still they were Mesanachims. Why? They're not mechuyev. The answer is that when it's shaila of maintaining the Torah, a Jew is not allowed to let himself be swayed by logic. If our ancestors hundreds of years ago had allowed themselves to be motivated by logic, the Jewish people would not have survived. Not only if our ancestors had allowed themselves to be swayed by secular logic, even if our ancestors had allowed themselves to be guided by the logic, by the logic of people who pass Kishayres, the Jewish people still wouldn't have survived. Still wouldn't have survived. Suppose Chanan Yishol Azali would ask one of the Poskim today, Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image, the Kovid Malchus, not Rishimal Rizal, and he wants to kneel, he wants us to kneel. So what would the Poskim say? You don't have to give up your life. There would be mentioned, the Rambam says, that when one is not the Hoye, to give up his life, and he does give up his life, he's married as one of us. Here it was Mishnah Rizal. But Hanani Mishnah Azariah learned the lesson from the miracle that was wrought in Mitzrayim in connection with Yitzhavim. Now, the Rebbeinu Shalom wrote Esamakis. So every Makis has its special reason. Why this Makis? Why Dafke Frogs? Why not another animal? Because the frogs are symbolic of a meta-natural phenomenon in nature itself. You know, there is such a thing that is called in science metamorphosis. What is metamorphosis? The total transformation, structural transformation that takes place in an organism, the transition from the larva to the pupa, and from the pupa to adulthood. Now, one of the biggest examples is the transformation that takes place in the so-called frog. In its infancy, the frog has gills, it has a tail, it has no legs and no lungs. And then, as the frog becomes older, so the gills are removed, lungs are formed, the tail is removed, legs are developed. It's like Yesh Mayim. In a short time, a total structural transformation, metamorphosis. So that's a known phenomenon in nature. There are certain insects where there is a transition from the larva to the pupa and from the pupa to adulthood. So the frog in its larva stage has gills, has a tail, has no legs, has no lungs. In the pupa stage, it has no gills, it has no tail, it has lungs, and it has a tail. Like Trias Amazing phenomenon. I mean, it's a new being, it's a new organism. It's a new organism. I mean, if you ask all those Chachomim who can explain everything on the basis of evolution, and they'll tell you exactly how many millions and billions of years it took from the amoeba to attain the stage of a monkey. I mean, so they'll tell you that from an organism, the transition from an organism that has gills and no lungs and a tail and no legs to be changed into an organism with lungs and no gills and no tail but legs should take 200 million years. According to the pace of evolution as they conjured it up. And here it takes place in one day, that transition. Is that a natural phenomenon?
Of course it's a natural phenomenon.
It's found in nature. But even in nature we find certain phenomena that no scientist and no philosopher and no wise man can explain. But that's a fact. That's a fact. How does it work? They don't know. I'm wearing an electronic machine. And that was invented by modern people. It's a tremendous machine. It reduces the pain. But no doctor, no scientist knows exactly how the machine works. And I read 5 different theories how it works. One sounds reasonable, that this machine emits electrodes that block the connection between the brain and the nerves. But the other scientists who say, no, it works in a different way. And some scientists say, it only has a placebo effect. In other words, because people have confidence in it, that's why it helps. So why couldn't they take a piece of paper and have confidence in it, and then wrap myself up in a piece of paper and just have confidence in it? The answer is that even a placebo effect is not so extensive that it can apply to everything. A placebo effect, so, can apply to something that relaxes the nerves. But when you have confidence, then it relaxes more. If you don't have confidence, so it relaxes you a little bit. But just because you believe, in other words, if somebody is crazy and he believes in Reverend Mooney, so that means if Reverend Mooney will tell him to do something, so he can cure all the sick people who have pain, I mean, it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable. There must be something in it, but as to the degree. So we don't even know how it works. How it works? How can anybody explain this phenomenon of the metamorphosis, of the transition from the larva stage to the pupa stage? Such a major structural change, like Trias Amazing. It's as metanatural as Trias Amazing. This so-called metamorphosis is as metanatural. Yes, as metanatural as Trias Amazing. And with that we can understand the Gemara in Chilek. The Gemara deduces Trias Amazing at all from many psukim. But one raya is very strange. Kalachim amechita. Kalachim amechita. Because a chito you put in the sand, just one chito, one seed, and then it gives rise to a whole crop. That person is put to the ground. So he could be resurrected. Very strange. The answer is, the real rise from the psukim, not from Chida. But any person will say, but it's not a natural. It's repugnant to all the laws of nature. So you should be told, don't think that all the phenomena in nature can be explained. There are certain phenomena in nature that are stranger than any yes, that are stranger than Kriyas Yam Suf. I mean the fact how by putting in a seed you can get a whole tree, all right, you can explain everything, the way it works, you know, but how does it work? And because of that, Rav Sadia Goyen says, the Mezzo mentions, that Boro has reference to the Priya Yeshkar. So then he himself uses the question, but we see that the Torah uses the expression Priya in respect to human beings and in respect to animals. The answer is, Rav Sadia Goyen believes that organic life can only be explained on the basis of the concept of Yeshmaya. Many scientists boasted 60 years ago, that within 10 years they'll be able to produce life in the laboratory, protoplasm. In 10 years, one professor, Wilson, in Columbia University, at one time, took an oath that within 10 years he himself will produce life. He didn't produce life. Why? Because life, as Chazal say, is miskansim kol ha'ilam. So in Yechil Nivrei Afil Yitshachat, and the way a baby is born, it's yesh me'ayin. I know the explanation. How the embryonic development, everybody knows. A child of 8 learns it in public school today. But that doesn't mean that we can understand it. It's the biggest miracle. It's the most unnatural phenomenon. It's not any less unnatural than the mess of creation. But, it takes place within nature, within the framework of nature. But it's better natural. So, the reason as to why the Danish Earl meted out that market with frogs, not with other insects. Why frogs? Because frogs themselves are symbolic of the meta-naturalness of nature. This metamorphosis aspect in the frog, that in its infancy, it's an altogether different animal. It has another name, it's not even called frogs, I think it's called tadpole. Yeah, and then in one day there is a transition from the tadpole to the frog, acquiring lungs and legs and no gills, no tail, nothing, just like that, out of the blue sky. The tail is removed, the gills are removed, lungs are formed. Let the scientist produce a pair of lungs in 100 years with all the equipment, will not be able to do it. And here, just like that, in one day. That's a meta-natural phenomenon. But it takes place within the framework of nature. So that is the pshat in Pirkei Shir. David HaMelech, after he composed Tehillim, and what is Tehillim? Tehillim is a Shir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, the whole Tehillim is expressive of man's gratitude towards God. Baruch Hinafshi Hashem. I mean, a description of nature, the beauty of nature. So he was very proud, naturally, he has something to be proud. So then he was told by Maharam Vuyeh, don't be so proud of it. You think that your Shire is the most glorious Shire? No. You know what is the most glorious Shire? The Shire symbolized by the flag. The fact that in its infancy it's a tadpole, it's one kind of an organism. And then all of a sudden it changes into a new organism, into a so-called flag, without gills, without the tail, with lungs and with legs. That's the most broad issue. And then Viloyail, he says, that flag says Shani Sekes Vimitzvah Deva. Bizuy Amitzvah Shani Sekes Bo. Yeish Bishwas Hayam Minyachot Shein Panosho Se Chimin Amayim Uvisho Shu Oil Miklani Viyachlan Zuy Amitzvah. This is only expressive of the glorious nitrogenous cycle, how one thing in nature is interwoven with other thing in nature, how the plant life is interwoven and integrated with the animal life, everything together into one harmonious blending, the nitrogenous cycle. That's the mix that the flag does. In other words, somehow the flag serves as the food for certain organisms, and without the flag, in the course of the nitrogenous cycle, so then that organism couldn't live. That's the mitzvah. This is expressive of the meta-naturalness of certain so-called natural phenomena. Now we can understand. Hananiah Mishael Azariah had to soliloquize with themselves. Should they give up the light after all? They were not told by Nebuchadnezzar to kneel to Nabuchadnezzar. They were told by Nebuchadnezzar to kneel and recover the Melech. And that's not Nebuchadnezzar. So there is a droshe in the Mechilte. Luis ishtachte lehem de loisi obde. Abo atomute al ishtachvez. Le Melech le odom shikenesa. As long as that Melech did not declare himself. So what? So what's the big difference between Melech Pekeah and Melech Tipesh? Very small difference. A few numbers and a few more, that's all. So they kneel to him. Why? Because there is a heter. As long as it's not a Shema V'Nizore, so for a human being, we are allowed to kneel. For an animal, not. Suppose somebody will kneel to an animal, but not that he believes that the animal has superhuman powers, mysterious powers. Just out of love, admiration for the cow, he's kneeling to the cow, kneeling to the cow. I don't know whether all the Indians really believe that a cow has mysterious powers. There are some philosophers among the Indians who do not believe that the cow has mysterious powers, but they kneel to the cow anyway. So he still has one. There is a special heter to kneel to a human being, to a Melech. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mutter to kneel to a king. For Jewish kings also, it was customary in ancient times to kneel before him. And what do we do today? We make a bow for every human being when we meet. That's a form. If somebody will do it to Rav Rizor, he will be chayil nisim. That's also a form of shachar. But for a human being, because of COVID adulteries, there is a special effort. So in mainland there was no Issa of Abdelazar involved. So from the point of view of logic, even the logic of a person who is a Pesach in Aloha, they were allowed to save their lives, but they decided they're not going to save their lives. And what did the Talmud Meis Yelodim the Yelodis do when the Roman enemy attempted to contaminate them? They jumped into the sea. Were they obligated to do that? I don't even know what was the heter to do it, but certainly not obligated. After all, there's Allah of Kateilom, there's no need to possess heter, but they need Teskin Shires. Because when it comes to spiritual matters, a person cannot let himself be guided exclusively by his logic. You find in Chicago and other cities too, I mean, certain people, they, when they want a heter, So they'll call up after that talk that they think shall do the matter. But if they think a certain one will not do the matter, they won't call me. Some of these people never called me up about caring, about making an error. But they do call me up whether one is allowed to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. They know that I say one is allowed to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. So they call me up, for their child they call me up. But why don't they call me up about Hodosh and about caring Shabbos in a so-called place that has an error? They don't call me up. And even if sometimes they fail, and they mistakenly call me up because they think that I have the matir, and I tell them Moshe, so then they keep up calling many rabbis until they find one rov, and the kadosh baruch hu to give them heta. And then, I mean, what is the chow? That there is a diminution of your shemayim in these people. They want to be swayed by logic. You can't let yourself be swayed by logic. As Rebbetzin Sonia, the Rebbetzin of the Shalei Biskin, said to her husband, you know, she was a big Amdonis, and she was very full too, she wore tzitzis. She wasn't not a woman liver, but she wore tzitzis anyway. One time, before Pesach, the Shalei Biskin saw that Rebbetzin Sonia was scrubbing the tables, walls, the walls are made of. She was turning over the whole house before people. So Mishalei Biskin said, Sonia, was tust du das? Ich habe noch steht, da hat man nicht noch hier zu kommen. Da hat er mir nicht wohl gefragt, bei dir, wo der Schmoll sagt, wo es sich in Lein gegessen haben ist. The women of old did not ask any Shailas. They asked Shailas, when Shailas had to be asked. But they had an intuitive sense. Certain things have to be done. For Pesach, you have to clean the house. You don't ask Shailas. Is it all right or is it not all right? They don't go up and ask Shailas. I would like to watch a television, a ball game on television. So can I set a clock so that it turn on? And he wants an answer. And if I tell him no, he wants to know. So he's so intellectual. He wants to know where is it mentioned in the Rambam that you're not allowed to set a clock. I mean, so that you'll be able to watch a ball game on television. I have to tell him where the Rambam says that. The Rambam does say that, but not in so many words, in ballgame. The Rambam didn't know ballgame on television. But he doesn't mention. No, he wants that I should show him in the Rambam or in the Machaber and the Ramo that you're not allowed to set the clock so that you'll be able to watch the ballgame on television. Well, what do they show? There is a diminution of Yer Shamayim. They want to be firm, at the same time, they want to be very clever. Very clever. So this is what Hanani Mishol Vazari says. They deduce the Kalvachemia. They deduce the Kalvachemia from the Tzvadeya. Now the Tzvadeya, why was the Tzvadeya one of the traits? Why not the Tzvadeya? Why couldn't it have been another insect? Why Tzvadeya? The answer is because the Tzvadeya, the whole existence of the Tzvadeya is symbolic of the meta-naturalness in nature itself. It shouldn't be a chochem and say, oh, this tree is amazing. That's not natural. It's not because of nature. Of course it's not because of nature. Naturally, I mean, how could it be according to the laws of nature? And what about certain phenomena in nature? Is that in consonance with the general pattern of nature? That in one day there should be a transition from a tadpole into a frog, from gills to lungs, from a tail to legs. In one day, it should require, scientists would say, 200 million years for that evolutionary change. The answer is, there are many things in nature that the human mind cannot understand. And we do not have to be so rationalistic, I mean, try to understand everything with ourselves. There are certain things that are beyond the inquisitive grasp. So, just see the Tzvadeya. Hear the Tzvadeya. First of all, the Tzvadeya itself, the whole existence of the Tzvadeya, is symbolic of the mental naturalness in natural phenomena. And then the way the miracle manifested itself. So first, Tzfadim emerged everywhere, in the bedrooms, in the dining room, in the living room of the Egyptians, and also in the furnaces, in the kneading troughs. Then, when Moshe Rabbeinu entreated Almighty God to remove the Tzfadim, so the Tzfadim were removed from every place, and except the furnaces and the kneading troughs, where from the point of view of naturalness, these Tzfadim should have been the first ones to be destroyed. After all, on a fire. No, so dafke these Tzfadim that are exposed to the fire that consumes everything, the Tzfadim survive. What is it shown? That not everything can be treated from the perspective of naturalness. There are many things in nature itself which are not natural. Some Melech Man Yishol Azale, you don't have to be such lomb. They also need the lombus. That if it's in Kedah Melech, so you can have a heta to bow down. But like the Dalit Yilodim, Dalit Meis Yilodim V'Yilodis, they knew of the heta of Karkayel. They knew of them. But they didn't want to have recourse to it. They knew it's a question of Kiddush Hashem. So you don't even have to think. You have to act crazy. And this is what the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva. You have to be madly in love with Rabbi Mishra. That's the mitzvah of Abba. So the Rambam says, in Perek Yud, in Hilchas Tshuva, Halachagim, Yechitzati wa Abba ho ruyo hu shiya v'sad Hashem, Abba g'dilo yiseyo azamei, עד שתהי נפשי קשורו באבס השם ונמצא שגר בתמיד כאילו חיר וחיר יעבו שאין די תתנו יום האבס איסי אישו והוא שגר בתמיד בין שיפטי בין מקומי בין בישו שיחו וסייסף יש לנו זה כי האבס השם ונמצא שגר בתמיד יש לבין משובי יש לבין מדלי in love with a רבי נשאר he say somebody is מדלי in love with a woman he's crazy about her he has to be crazy about a רבי נשאר He has to be madly in love with the Rebbe Mishal, not logic. If our ancestors, our grandfathers and grandmothers had allowed themselves to dissuade the logic, the Jewish people wouldn't exist. And let the secular Jews realize that if our grandmothers had allowed themselves to be swayed by philosophy, they wouldn't be in the Jewish history now. They would be the vanishing Jew. As Titus Horosho thought and celebrated by erecting a gate, but Titus Horosho himself, he didn't survive, but the Jewish people survived. The Reader's Digest will not last forever, but the Jewish people will last forever. We cannot understand the destiny and the history of the Jewish people on the basis of logic. And that was the implicit answer that Almighty God gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu raised such a significant question. I mean, he is the Yisrael Yishmeelai, Ve'ach Yishmeelai. The answer is, it's true. From the perspective of logic, it's true. But Jewish destiny does not operate according to logic. It operates according to meta-natural laws. To meta-natural laws. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot ask V'hatzele Yisrael. Because you'll see the resource achirai ufonai leihor. So the Yalkut Shemaini says that achirai fonai is descriptive of the historical events as these are unfolded before our eyes, and achirai has reference to the historical events hundreds of years and maybe thousands of years later. When you look at them retrospectively, when one tries to understand God's administration of the world, what goes on in history, while they take place before his eyes, he cannot understand. But hundreds of years later, we can understand. From the perspective of eternity, so it's possible to understand all the operations in history. And that was the Kalachimah from the Tzfadim. Just as that Tzfadim symbolize the meta-naturalness in the nature. Sarah has come with Hamo. The Jews should be motivated by that concept of meta-naturalness, not by the so-called logic of the limited human mind.